So over the past few weeks, we've been journeying through Lent, we have been asking a lot of questions. Not necessarily easy questions, not questions that we can come up with a simple answer, not necessarily questions that we don't need any time to think about, but questions during Lent with the hope that they might linger with us. That we'd find ourselves reflecting on the questions during the week, and with the possibility that even the questions that we asked ourselves one day in the week, maybe the answer might be different for us at some point later on in the week. What's been important during our Lenten series entitled Seeking, Honest Questions for a Deeper Faith, is that we've been trying to give ourselves permission to ask questions in the first place. Permission to ask some questions of ourselves, permission to ask some questions of God, in the hope that each one of us might then be able to take some steps in faith as we move closer to Jesus. One of our previous questions was, what do we thirst for in life? What does God thirst for in us? Another question was, how do we begin again? What steps do we need to take those first steps again with Jesus? This morning, we are faced with another question. A question that rises from our two readings we just heard from Scripture. Today, the question that we're asked is, can these bones live? Have you ever experienced a time when it felt as though the world was closing in around you? Ever gone through a time when it felt as though hope pretty well had completely faded for you? I'm not so sure I can imagine situations that felt any more hopeless to those who experienced them than the situations described in our two readings today. The stories of Lazarus and the story of Ezekiel in the Valley of Bones. Let's consider, first of all, the passage from John's Jesus story that spoke about what happened with Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. Likely anybody who has experienced the death of a loved one, they have a sense of how Mary and Martha might have felt after their brother Lazarus had died. But, you know, with Lazarus, I don't even think that we fully get there. I mean, this was a completely surprising death. There's no indication that Lazarus was old, no indication that he'd been sick for a long, long time and people were expecting it. The sense we get is that for Mary and Martha, this was something very sudden, very unexpected. Lazarus died prematurely. When somebody's health fails, there's a mix of emotions within us. Concern, fear, sadness. No one wants to see a loved one in pain. And yet, among so many, until somebody dies, there's still a bit of hope within them. Hope that things will turn around. Hope that the loved one will get better. And the sense I get is that for a while at least, Mary and Martha were full of such hope. I mean, isn't that why they sent for Jesus in the first place? They knew Jesus. He was a friend of the family. And while we don't know a lot about how they came to know one another, we do know that whether or not Mary and Martha had actually witnessed Jesus healing people in the past or whether they just simply heard about such things. The sense we get is that there's that the fact that he does heal, that that's part of their thinking. Lazarus wasn't getting any better on his own. If there had been doctors with him, he wasn't responding to the treatment that that he was receiving from those doctors. Things didn't look as though they were improving in any way. So Mary and Martha, they decide that it's time to send for Jesus. If he could make other people well, then maybe he could do the same for their brother Lazarus. Can you imagine Mary and Martha during that time waiting for Jesus to arrive at their house? Can you imagine how they might have been feeling during that time? I can just picture them watching their brother's health deteriorate. And I can also imagine them glancing out the window every now and then, just hoping to see Jesus coming down the road. Likely there's a sense of hope and despair kind of being pulled back and forth between one another. Until their world came crashing down. When they discovered that Lazarus had in fact died. At that moment, they knew that Jesus hadn't made it on time. While Lazarus had been battling whatever it was he was suffering from, they'd been able to hold on to hope. But the moment they saw him lying still on his bed, and his chest no longer rising and falling, their hope started to slip away. For so many people, death can feel like such a hopeless situation. And yet when I look at our two readings today, that story of the death of Lazarus that gives us a glimpse of the hopelessness that was felt by Mary and Martha, that kind of pales in comparison with the sense of hopelessness that might have been felt by Ezekiel when he saw the valley of dry bones. That passage began that by saying that the Lord called me out into the valley and I saw a valley of dry bones. Now, before we go any further, it might be helpful to for us to understand a bit of the context of the passage. You've heard me speak before about the exile, the time when the people of Israel were defeated by the Babylonians, and many of the people of Israel were then carted off to be in exile in Babylon. And so Ezekiel, he was one of the messengers, one of the prophets for the people of Israel while they were in Babylon. Ezekiel was calling the people to repent, calling the people to return to God. He was calling the people to set their sights on God, set their hearts on God. And yet, for so many of the people, that just wasn't happening. The people weren't responding to the message. They weren't making things right between themselves and God. To Ezekiel, that must have been so discouraging, don't you think? He comes to the people day after day and he's trying to encourage them to make some changes, and day after day it seems like nobody is listening. I can imagine him feeling in his heart and his mind, will things ever change? Will I ever witness things improving? I can imagine Ezekiel having questions about the people. I can imagine Ezekiel having questions about himself and his own ministry and the effectiveness of his ministry. Am I doing this right? I can even imagine seeds of doubt starting to creep into Ezekiel, and he starts thinking about God. God, are you really there? Have you really called me to do this? It would have felt as though his world was starting to unravel. It would have felt as though things were falling apart for him. And so it is in the midst of that sense of hopelessness that God takes Ezekiel out into a valley. Now, we don't know whether he was taken there physically or whether he was just kind of given a picture of that valley in his mind. Really, it doesn't make any difference what it was. What's important was that the valley was the epitome of hopelessness. Before Ezekiel, there was a valley of bones. Masses and masses of bones. And with these bones there before Ezekiel, God says these words to him. Son of man, can these bones live? In such a circumstance, can you imagine being asked such a question? Even in our gospel reading today, when Jesus finally did appear and he called people to roll away the stone from the tomb, can you remember Martha's response? She said, "We can't do that, Lord. He's been dead for 4 days and there's going to be an awful smell if we do that." Even if Martha hadn't seen previous people being raised from the dead, very likely she'd heard of dramatic healings. But the sense I get is that even though she might have heard such stories or even witnessed those things herself, by the time we get to this point in her story, and the story of Lazarus, it's the sense we get is that even though there had been a little bit of hope when Jesus first arrived, that hope is completely fading. Why might she not have hope any longer? Well, you see, other times when Jesus raised people from the dead, the time between the death and the resurrection of that person wasn't very long. Perhaps you know the story of the little girl who was sick, and her father went to go and get Jesus, and so Jesus made his way to the house. By the time Jesus got there, the little girl was dead. But Jesus healed her. But there hadn't been much time. There was still the little girl was still there on the bed. People were gathering around her, grieving, but she was still there. She hadn't been buried yet. It was a short time. And that's what happened in other times when people were raised from the dead. It seemed to be a short time. And it being a short time, that was significant back in these days. Because there was an understanding back then that after 3 days, a spirit would be separated from the body. In other resurrection stories, the elapsed time of death wasn't very long. But in this story, it was completely different. Because by the time Jesus had arrived, Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days. Martha didn't really have a lot of hope. Likely nobody else had all that much hope either. Lord, we can't open the tomb. There's going to be a smell. My brother's been dead for 4 days. And yet, even though by the time Jesus arrived, Martha had likely given up hope in Lazarus's bodily resurrection, can you imagine Ezekiel's hope level when God asked him the question, can these bones live? If there was a kind of a continuum between hope and despair, Martha, she would have been pretty close to this end of that continuum. I think Ezekiel would have been way, way past that. All he sees is a valley of scattered bones. These weren't recent deaths, as far as Ezekiel was concerned. There weren't even bodies lying there before him. No, it was a valley of dry bones. So much time had passed since the death of those people. Any memories, any sounds of life from that valley had long since vanished. So can you imagine Ezekiel being asked the question from God? Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel probably wanted to say to God, are you serious? What kind of question is that? Now, he doesn't say that. Instead, he says, Lord, you know the answer. Now, I'm not so sure that that was Ezekiel's way of just kind of submitting to God. It could simply have been that Ezekiel didn't want to say something ridiculous. Can these bones live? Really? Lord, I'm just going to leave that question with you. In both stories, it's amazing how the stories unfolded. In the Lazarus story, Jesus called for the rolling away of the stone, and then he called Lazarus to come forth, to come out of the tomb, and what happened? Lazarus came out of the tomb. In the Valley of Dry Bones, it was even more dramatic. As the bones started to move, they started to rustle, and bones started to connect with other bones. Muscles and tendons and skin started to appear. But even then, the drama wasn't over. God then called Ezekiel to prophesy that the breath of God might come and enter into those people and bring them into being. And upon doing that, a vast army suddenly appeared. Hope in the midst of hopelessness. Life in the midst of lifelessness. Friends, today we're being asked the question, can these bones live? What do you think God is referring to as God asks that question of you and me? What are the bones that God has in mind? That God is wondering whether from them can come life? When I think of the passage today, I think that the passages, they speak on a number of different levels. Perhaps you see yourself in Ezekiel or in one of the two sisters of Lazarus. Perhaps there are people here today or people who are watching this service via our live stream who feel as though hope is something that is fading. Or maybe that hope in something has died. Perhaps there are people here today or people who are watching this service via our live stream who feel as though it's time to let go of the hope. The path of hope feels like it's leading to a dead end. If that's where you find yourself today, what is God saying to you through our passages? When I think of the story of Lazarus, and particularly what was going on inside of Martha, there's something that catches my attention. And that was the fact that she still held back, even after the arrival of Jesus. When Jesus called for the stone to be rolled away, she didn't want that to happen because of the smell. I find that interesting. That even though Jesus was right there, it was almost as though Martha was paralyzed with fear. And it makes me wonder, what would have happened if Martha had not been willing to let go of that fear? What if the tomb was never opened? And that raises questions in me, like, what fears do I hold on to that prevent me from discovering what God is offering to me in Jesus? In what way are fears in me keeping the tomb closed? There's other things that catch my attention. I think of the bones and I think of Lazarus and the role that they played in these great stories of Scripture. I wonder whether for both of the stories, we kind of see the bones and Lazarus, and we kind of think of them simply in passive terms, that the stories are about things being done to them. But as I reflect on the stories, I get a sense of them having a role to play as well. You see, Lazarus's resurrection was a sign of hope and life to Mary and Martha. The vast army, a sign of life and hope to Ezekiel. Lazarus and that army, they embodied hope to those who needed to catch a glimpse of something hopeful. As I think about Lazarus, he had to do something, didn't he? When he was called, he had to come out of the tomb. He had to respond to the call of God. And when he did, then he could embody the hope that his sisters were needing. We see something similar in the story of Ezekiel today. The passage told us that when Ezekiel first prophesied, the bones, they came together, the tendons and the muscles and then the flesh. But even then, there wasn't life. And then even after the wind had gone into them and they were breathing, even that wasn't the end of it. The passage went on to say that the people stood on their feet, a vast army before Ezekiel. It was only as they stood up that they embodied the hope that God was offering. Lazarus needed to come out of the tomb. The army needed to stand. There are people who needed to embody the hope so that other people could be given that hope. And that makes me wonder, how am I embodying hope in my life to the people around me? What are the things I need to do, the steps I need to take so that others might see God's hope living and active in me? One other thing that catches my attention, and it comes from the Lazarus story, and it has to do with something Jesus said after Lazarus made his way out of the tomb. You remember what Jesus said to the people around him once Lazarus had come out? Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes. Unbind him." You see, Lazarus has come out of the tomb, and even though Lazarus had new life living within him, there were still things that were holding him back. Those grave clothes were holding him back. Holding him back from really living from that day forward. Those were things that other people had wrapped around him. In order for Lazarus to really live, for him really to be able to go forward in his new life, that which bound him needed to be stripped away from him. And that makes me wonder, what might be the ties that bind me? What might be the ties that are binding you? And perhaps a follow-up question. In what way might I be binding people around me? And how am I being called to let them go? Can these bones live? That's God's question today. So who are you in the story? What is God saying to you? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that in you there is hope, always. Lord, sometimes we don't feel like that. Sometimes we can focus so much on the hope disappearing. But Lord, we want you to be bringing life to us. We want you to be working in us. We want you to be revealed through our lives that we might embody hope to a broken world. Lord, bring us to life that we might share your love and your life with others. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.